Wealth can be measured in many ways. As it grows, life can quickly become complex, creating the need for more focused planning. Welcome to We're Talking Money with OmniStar Financial Group. OmniStar has been helping clients achieve financial success for more than 20 years in a client-centric and stress-free environment. With a reputation built on a long track record of working with people who want to grow and protect their assets, OmniStar illuminates the blind spots and provides actionable strategies to help you achieve what's most important. This is where you can count on straightforward and unbiased advice from a team of professionals that are passionate about your success.
Hey, Alex Nolan here again with Phil Clark, and today we are going to be continuing the expert series on disability that we started in our last episode, what disability is for a medical professional, dentist, physician, and why it's so important for people in those occupancies to make sure that they're properly protected. With that being said, Phil, why don't you kick us off on some of the basics of disability?
That sounds great. Well, first, good morning, Alex. Good to be back. Looking forward to talking about disability in our second podcast on the subject. Always a misunderstood subject, in my opinion. So many people that need it, they go without it, and they run the risk of becoming disabled and losing their ability to live life, at least financially. So we said in our first episode there was 25 to 30% of adult Americans stand the chance of suffering from a disability, whether it's a short-term or long-term. That is a pretty high number of people, and they're going to likely see some form of disability before they retire. So typically, disabilities are not related to physical injury. I thought that was a great point that you brought up in our last broadcast. And then most working people, they don't have savings, at least not enough to sustain their financial needs for a year or two, which is how long a disability, on average, a long-term disability can last. So just going back to those basic points, that is enough or should be enough to get someone energized about thinking through disability and disability coverage. And then when you take those things, apply it to a medical professional, now you're talking a much different level of income, and you're talking about a career that is not easily replaced.
And when we mentioned it a little bit in the last podcast, you know, when you think about what disability is doing, it's protecting your ability to earn a livelihood. And if it's set up properly, it's your livelihood of that specific profession that you are trained to do and perform. But that being said, they might not be able to work in the exact same capacity that they once worked in. And that is where concern comes in for medical professionals. And, you know, we mentioned it last time, you know, a big thing is looking at how much effort went into being able to do your profession. Is it a 3-month certificate? Was it a bachelor's degree? Or was it a bachelor's degree, a medical program, potentially residency for multiple years? Did you take out numerous loans for the education? And then, you know, for a lot of our clients who are in the medical field, they've likely also taken out loans to start their businesses, buy into other practices that if they went down, it could even impact their family, their livelihood, and their home. The stakes get larger and larger and larger as your income goes up. You know, when you're only making, call it $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, and then you go to making $200,000 a year, $500,000, even $1 million a year. A lot of these medical professionals and, you know, those of you listening to us are going to be thinking about this saying, yeah, if my income stopped, there's a lot that can come crashing down around me.
Everything does. I mean, really, these doctors, whether it's a dentist or a medical doctor, whether you're a surgeon, a general dentist, these people spend 5 years, 6 years at a minimum getting their base education. So they've got to go to school, get their bachelor's, then they're going to school for the medical component, and then they're going to do residency. And depending, if you're going to be a medical surgeon, you're an MD, and you're going to be a surgeon specializing in whatever it is, you got you got a 5-year residency program. So you're literally, you could be talking about 10 or 11 years of very low earning years. And then all of a sudden you get your first contract, for example, as a surgeon, and you might lock in with a hospital that's going to pay you $400K a year. And you've been used to say $70,000 a year. And all of a sudden your life just changed in a dramatic way. So now you have to grab hold of that and try to keep it under some form of control, meaning that you don't go crazy and start creating too much debt. I think you're right, Alex, with these docs. They come out of school with a lot of debt generally, but they have huge earning potential, and their lifestyle generally follows the earning potential. So disability occurs. How do you adjust for that? Now you might have kids, your wife, your kids, they require a certain level of lifestyle, maybe college, so many things, private schools, you name it. And what would you do if you lost your ability to earn that paycheck? Let's face it, there's not many jobs that would allow them to make a lateral move. Continue that lifestyle is just not a feasible thing to consider. You have to be prepared for this one. And disability, it's one of the most underestimated things that can absolutely, to your point, crush a doctor's ability to maintain lifestyle.
I completely agree with that. And, you know, this is where properly understanding ways to protect your income becomes very important, because, you know, like you mentioned, Phil, there's just not a whole lot of ways for a, call it a brain surgeon, to make a brain surgeon pay without performing brain surgery. You know, it's just, you've spent all these years specializing. You've seen all your friends start working young. They now have their family. The successful sales guy's got his BMW and his house in the suburbs. And you're just getting out of school at 35 or 40, and you want to catch up. So you're 5 years into your career, and you just got your Porsche because you deserve it. You've been 15 years has gone into trying to develop this career to earn that kind of income to help people the way that, you know, a brain surgeon can. But what if 3 years, 5 years into that career, you can't do that anymore? It could be earth shattering for you, or there could be other ways around it that might not be quite so devastating. And so this is why properly understanding disability and properly setting up a contract can be one of the best things you really do. An old example that I used to always use with clients is, you had two options. One, you could take a job that paid you, let's call it $1 million a year. The other job would pay you $980,000 a year. The only difference between the two is that if you got hurt on the job making $1 million, you got nothing. Now you got hurt on the job making $980,000, you still get about $650,000 or $700,000 a year tax free. If you pose that to almost anyone, they're all going to pick job B that has that safety net. You can use almost any income level you want, and the analogy is the same. But when someone's sitting across from you talking about disability insurance, you might be thinking, why do I need that? Doesn't make sense. I don't want to have to spend my money on this. But, you know, think back to that analogy. Think back to that story. Most disability contracts typically cost between about 1.5% and 3% of your pay. That comes down to how healthy you are and your specific occupation. But usually to get to the 3% range, there has to be a lot of fancy add-ons to the contract that you likely won't need.
Yeah, and the fact is, you know, relative to what you're earning, 1, 2, even 3% of your compensation to guarantee that you don't have to abruptly change your lifestyle should you become disabled, you have to ask yourself the question, is 1, 2, 3% of my salary worth that level of security, that level of peace of mind, and is it worth it for my family? And I think a reasonable person is going to say, yes, that is absolutely worth it.
We hope so.
But you know, Alex, we run into clients all the time who say, I've been thinking about canceling my disability. It's really expensive. And I always, for me, and I think you're the same way, I chuckle a little bit when I hear that, because I'm looking at someone earning $500,000, $600,000 a year, and they're complaining about something that might be costing $6,000 a year, even if it's $10,000. What's so interesting is they can have a boat payment for their 40-foot Sea Ray that is several thousand a month, that depreciates, goes down in value. They use it three times a year. Maybe if they're lucky, they use it 10. They're perfectly happy paying for that, but it's because, Alex, we talk about it a lot around the firm, they can see it, they can touch it, and people can associate success when they see those things. And there's something to be said for that. People love that feeling. They want people to know that they're successful. And they'll argue with us and say, well, no, that's not the reason I buy it. I buy it because I really enjoy it. And when you ask them, how many times do you use it per year? 3, 4, 5. Maybe we use it once a month, 12 times a year. You really enjoy it that much? Because things that I really enjoy doing, Alex, I'm doing them every day to sample wine. Love it. I don't do that 3 or 4 or 10 times a year. That stuff becomes diurnal to me. And so I think a lot of it is trying to set a stage to present their success or their status, and they're willing to do that. But when it comes to disability, something that will protect all of their abilities to have those things, they complain about it.
I mean, everyone probably needs disability if you talk to them. Very few people don't, but the typical people that you would think of having to have it are the ones that are going to give you the most pushback. And those that, maybe you don't need it, maybe your job's not as specialized, they understand the plight and they get it.
Well, think about the ones who have lower incomes. They tend to recognize risk a lot faster, a lot sooner than the ones who are making $500,000 to $1 million a year. They get very comfortable and they think they're invincible, and they just run about life with this idea that nothing's going to happen. And I think there's a huge fallacy there. Interesting story that comes to mind. You know, we had a doctor years and years ago, became a good friend, and he was in a motorcycle accident. He was a general surgeon. This is how poignant the situation can become. For our listeners, whether you're a doctor or not, this is reality. So he was thrown from the motorcycle, basically into a small ravine. And the unfortunate part was no one found him for quite a while. So he was alone. He was in pain. He had severe damage to his hand, one of his hands, and lots of bumps and scrapes and bruises. But he lost his ability to practice surgery. Eventually, he found a surgeon about halfway across the country. So he lived in North Carolina, found this surgeon, and she said, I believe I can get your hand to a point that allows you to do surgery. And lo and behold, he was back in business. The reality, however, was all of his patients were gone. His partners no longer wanted him because he was doing nothing to provide value to the practice. He couldn't do anything. He started over. Had disability insurance not been part of his plan, he will tell you today that not only would he be destitute during that period, he said, probably I would have become so depressed, I don't really know what I would do. I don't know if I'd be here today because I realized how much my lifestyle meant to me, particularly now that I couldn't go to the office and work and do what I love to do. So he learned to do other things during that period, but he was disabled, Alex, for about, before he got back into the surgery center, he was disabled for about 4 years, maybe close to 5. And it took him a couple more years to get his practice rebuilt or reestablish himself. That's a real story. And this doctor will tell you every time, do not forego disability insurance. He didn't think he was going to be one of the statistics, but he was.
That's a great story. And it's a great example of why disability is important. One key thing to note is that it's usually hard to get a disability benefit over about $20,000 a month. And that can be a concern for a lot of doctors. You know, do the math, it's about $240,000 a year. The positive is that's a tax-free payout. So that's really going to sufficiently cover someone who's making $350,000, $400,000 a year. And you can get additional coverage. You just have to usually go to a surplus lines carrier, perhaps a Lloyd's of London type carrier. The other important thing is to make sure you know your riders. As a physician, the one rider you want to make sure you have, no matter what, is an own occupation, true own oc. That rider basically says that you have to be able to perform your exact specialty. Otherwise, you are not deemed to be recovered from your disability.
Often missed. To save money, you'll find people buying this insurance and they will forego that own occupation because it does add a layer of cost. On the other hand, if you are unable to perform the specific duties of your occupation, that becomes a very important set of language. You want that in your contract. Otherwise, what a traditional or more generic definition might say, basically, so long as you're able to find gainful employment, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't have to be in the medical space, doesn't have to be in anything related to your education. If you can perform anything and earn income, you don't get your disability benefit, or at best, you might get a portion of it. True own occupation is huge. Benefit increases, another thing. So having cost of living adjustments built into that, that's very important. And you can get those in different amounts or increments, usually 3 to 5%. And so that becomes an important element. And a lot of times they forego that because it adds cost. But having that automatic increase and then a guaranteed ability to up your coverage when your income warrants, that's very important because you don't have to prove insurability to get those additional benefits. You just basically say, yes, I want it, or you can decline. But you want to have the option to properly insure yourself without any limitation, and you don't want to go through underwriting down the road because who knows what may happen to your health. So they don't need the cost of living adjustment rider as much as some of these other things that we've talked about. Own occupation is the number one thing that they need to cover. But lots of disability policies have lots of riders. You got to be properly educated on what's there. And so you want to work with a firm like ours or someone who is well-versed in disability coverage so that you get the right thing at the right time. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in a situation that might not be so comfortable.
Yeah, and that's 100% true on those riders. I would say that the one non-negotiable is make sure you have true own oc and make sure it's a guaranteed renewable non-cancelable policy. Very important.
Yeah, the non-cancelable, huge. That one is the most important, much more expensive than the guaranteed renewable, but you don't have to worry about premiums going up, nor can they cancel. So do you pay a little more for it? Yes, but let's face it, what do you like? Don't get cheap when it comes to your disability. Get the right coverage and be willing to spend the right amount of money so that you don't have to give up what you've worked so hard to accomplish, and that is your lifestyle.
Yeah, those are some great points. Starting to wrap us up here, but we went over cost a little bit earlier, usually between 1.5%, 3% of your income. It can fluctuate a little bit. If you make $2 million a year and you're only buying insurance for $300,000 of it or $400,000 of it or as much as you can get qualified for, you know, it's not going to be 3% of your income because your income's so far above that threshold of what they can protect. But they'll usually protect between 60 and 70% depending on the company. There's surplus lines. You can always get more coverage. But those are some good price guidelines, and that's going to fluctuate a little based off the riders.
Well, and the other thing, Alex, is depending on their health, you know, if they qualify at the best rates, then it might not be more than 1% of their income. Now, if they wait or they delay purchasing coverage and all of a sudden they have an illness or something that changes their health status, expect to pay more. So the sooner you get it, the better. The younger, the better. And of course, with the riders that allow you to buy up or buy additional amounts, as your income grows, then you have the opportunity to add to your disability protection.
One last thing to note, just for you, those of you who are listening, you definitely want to work with a broker, not a captive agent. So we at OmniStar, we broker for, call it 70 companies. It's right in that ballpark, depending on what type of coverage you're looking at. And the reason why that's so important for disability, I mean, it's important across the board just so you can get a fair opinion. And you don't only have one product presented to you. But that being said, the reason why it's so important for disability, especially in the medical field, is that not all carriers treat all occupations the same. Until next time, we appreciate you tuning into our expert series. And if you, once again, if you have any questions on disability, let us know. We'd be happy to help and illuminate some blind spots.
Yeah, and don't forget, visit our website if you want more information. It's OmnistarFinancial.com. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. What did I forget? Oh, and YouTube.
We got everything.
Yeah, we got it all. So there's no reason why you can't find us. And it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in North Carolina, where we're based, or if you're in California. If you need help with these things, we're a resource to you, and we'd love to help out. So visit our website, visit us on social media, like us, follow us, and listen to our podcast. We're going to continue to bring good information to you, and hopefully it will allow you to make better decisions as it relates to your personal life and your career.
Thanks, Phil. Great, great sitting here with you again. And like I said, we'll see y'all in a couple weeks on the expert series of We're Talking Money.
Sounds great. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for joining us on We're Talking Money. Be sure to visit our website, www.omnistarfinancial.com, where you can learn more about how we provide value to our clients. Subscribe to the show and our newsletters, and drop us a line with suggestions for upcoming shows. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. This podcast is a publication of OmniStar Financial Group. Any information provided has been prepared from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy is not guaranteed, does not represent all available data necessary for making business or investment decisions, and is for informational purposes only and does not represent or constitute any recommendations. All expressions of opinion reflect that of the authors and are subject to change. If this podcast contains any projections, forecasts, guarantees, and/or predictions of any kind, you're required to ignore the same. OmniStar is not engaged in the practice of law or accounting, and any information in this podcast should not be construed legal or tax advice. Any distributions, use, or copying of this podcast, other than the intended recipients, is unauthorized.